ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
When I first got diabetes, my mom said to my wife, I bet his faith is really shaken. And my wife said, no, his faith is not shaken at all. You see the witness there? The obvious is, oh, I'm trusting in God because everything is going good in my life, but when everything goes bad, I'm not going to trust Him anymore? Are you kidding me? You see the witness? Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 said, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. People are reading our lives, guys, each and every day. We're like letters to them. What are we showing people? What are they reading? What are they seeing in our lives? Remember when Stephen was martyred for his faith in Christ by the Jewish religious leaders in Acts chapter 7? This man, Stephen, we're told when they arrested him, it said, all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. I don't know what that would look like, but there was just something different about Stephen. He had this joy, this love for God, and it was recognized, but something's different with him. That's a beautiful picture. And Stephen gives them this history lesson, pointing them to Jesus. And finally, in Acts 7:54, the response to what Stephen was telling them was, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. They were upset, okay? To say the least. And they were convicted. But instead of allowing that conviction to draw them to God, what did they do? They allowed that conviction to harden their hearts, and they became angry at Stephen, and they lashed out at him. And in Acts 7:55 through 60, it said, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow, what a contrasting picture between Stephen and these religious leaders. Stephen had the face of an angel. These religious leaders looked like the devil, didn't they? And that's what happens apart from God. But it shouldn't be in our lives as Christians. These Thessalonian believers, man, people were coming and going from Thessalonica. So as they heard the good news, and many got saved, they took it to their homes in the other areas, towns, villages, cities. Those believers were encouraged by hearing this, what's going on in their lives. They left seeing the power of God at work because of the witness the Thessalonians were giving them. You know, we need to be examples to unbelievers and believers, wherever we go. You know, we don't just follow Christ on Sunday or Thursday, but every day of the week. And yeah, many times it's difficult. I don't know if you noticed, but most businesses now, work is the hardest it's ever been. You're working more with less people. You have to do more work, and it's harder, and it's frustrating, and it's easy to become angry and lash out. We've all been there. But be a witness. Be an encouragement to the others. Because you are a witness. Again, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, our witness is not only with Bible verses. Yeah, the Word of God is important. Sharing the gospel message is important. our good works, though, the things we do, how we respond gives glory to God because we let others know all that we do is because of what God has done in our lives. You know, the boss reams you out and, you know, you take it. Why didn't you get mad at him? You didn't do anything wrong. You know what? God's in control here. I'm just going to trust in him. You know, I told you when I was working at the doctor's office, they cut my pay significantly. A new person came in overseeing me and thought I got paid too much, and they cut my pay. Just like that, for no reason. They just thought I was getting paid too much. And initially, you get angry. But I thought, you know what? God, you gave me this job in the first place, and you've always provided for me. So now, do I really think that someone is going to intervene and you're not going to be able to help in this situation? And God took care of it, and he always does. When I was back in Chicago, the same thing happened to me. I was in my early 20s, a nursing supervisor over a lot of ICUs and surgery and ERs and stuff. And one night, I was worked the PM shift. The night supervisors went into the vice president of nursing's office, opened her file cabinet, and looked at what I was getting paid. And they were upset. They got mad. And for the life of me, I don't even know why they did this, but they went to the vice president of nursing and said, he's getting paid too much. I mean, they should have been fired on the spot. How do you know what he's getting paid? She actually put a lock on her cabinet after this. But they cut my pay. They said, she brought me in. She goes, Joe, you know, we're paying you too much. You don't have a bachelor's in nursing. You only have an associate's degree, and we're going to have to cut your pay. Again, you know, initially you kind of get mad. But I thought, you know what, God, you wanted me to be the nursing supervisor. You put me in this position. You'll take care of me. And he did. He's always done that. So how we respond, we got to be careful because people are watching how we respond. Was I always perfect in how I responded? No, of course not. That flush rises up sometimes and you get mad. Doesn't make it right. You repent, you get right with God. And if you have to, you explain to people, hey, you know what? What I said there, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. You see, our witness. The last point we're going to look at is the land restored. And we're going to pick up in verse 22, where we're told this in Joshua 10. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded. And they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. On that day, Joshua took Makeda and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it. He let none remain. He also did to the king of Makeda as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him to Libna, and they fought against Libna. And the Lord also delivered it and its king into the hand of Israel. He struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword. He let none remain in it, but did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Libna and all Israel with him to Lachish, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, who took it on the second day and struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done to Libna. Then Horam, the king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people until he left him none remaining. From Lachish, Joshua passed to Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. They took it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. All the people who were in it, he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Then Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, to Hebron. And they fought against it, and they took it, struck it with the edge of the sword, its king, all its cities, and all the people who were in it. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but utterly destroyed it and all the people who were in it. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir, and they fought against it. And he took it and its king and all its cities. They struck them with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed all the people who were in it. He left none remaining as he had done to Hebron. So he did to Debir and its king, as he had done also to Libna and its king. So Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country in the south, and the lowland and the wilderness slopes, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And Joshua conquered them from Kadesh Barnea as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. All these kings and their land Joshua took at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. What we see here is the land being restored. And I'll just kind of give you a kind of an overview of all that's going on here. We see the fall of the city of Makeda. Then in Joshua 10:29-30 is the Canaanite city of Libna. Then Lachish, Eglon, Hebron, Debir. The Joshua 40-43 is just a summary of the southern campaign against the Canaanite kingdoms and how God gave the children of Israel victory. And that's important. It wasn't that Joshua got this victory. It was God gave them this victory. They walked by faith. They trusted in what the Lord had told them. And so now the children of Israel have returned to their headquarters at Gilgal after the successful military campaign against the southern kingdoms of Canaan. And you think they're pumped up? You bet they are. I mean, they go by the memorial stones that were set up after crossing the Jordan River, and I bet they're just praising the Lord. God, you are so faithful. You're amazing. You gave us all these victories. It's like Paul said in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, God gives us these victories. It's important we understand that. We need to walk in faith and thanking him for all he's done. And here's the thing, and this is kind of where I'm going to focus on, is Adonai Zedek and these four other kings, they were hiding in a cave. You know, these guys are put to death. The picture here that I want to focus on is Adonai Zedek, because he is a type of the Antichrist. So I think this is a picture of the last days of the tribulation period, maybe on into the millennial kingdom, where our Joshua will rule and reign. Adonai Zedek, his name means Lord of Righteousness. He's a deceiver. He's not a righteous man. He looks good, but he's not good. And it's interesting because in Revelation 6, verses 1 through 2, we're told of this man. It says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." That's not speaking of Jesus Christ. It's speaking of the Antichrist. He's a counterfeit. He looks like Jesus. And like all deceivers, he comes on the scene as a man of peace. He doesn't gain power by force. And the reason I say that is because he has a bow but no arrows. He rises to power without bloodshed. In fact, it's the false religious leader who ushers in the Antichrist to this power. He has a crown but not a king's crown. He doesn't have a diadema. He has a Stephanos, a victor's crown. Only Jesus has a king's crown, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what this is how deceiving this guy is, and how Satan is. In Revelation 13:3, we're told, "And I saw," speaking of the Antichrist, "one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast." Does that sound familiar? Jesus was put to death for our sins and rose from the grave on the third day. This guy is mortally wounded. Everyone thinks he's dead. I wouldn't be surprised if 3 days he's in that condition. And then he rises up. And now the world loves this guy even more. False resurrection. They worship this beast, the Antichrist. And make no mistake about it, this is a judgment of God upon a Christ-rejecting world. So this deceiver comes on the scene. He's wearing a white hat, you might say. He looks like a good guy, but he's not. And the world's going to feel his wrath very quickly. And Jesus is the one who loosens that seal. He allows this judgment to come upon this Christ-rejecting world. Adonai Zedek was the pagan king of Jerusalem. What is the Antichrist going to do? At the 3.5-year mark of the 7-year tribulation period, where does he go? He goes to Jerusalem, to the rebuilt temple, and he stands in the Holy of Holies, and he demands to be worshipped as God. Jesus called it the abomination of desolation. And Paul spoke of this in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He says about the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The Holy of Holies was the place where God dwelt, above the mercy seat. So I believe he goes into the Holy of Holies, and now he's demanding to be worshipped as God. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 to the Jews, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you flee. And I believe they flee to Basra, to Petra. For 3.5 years, God protects them. What's interesting is, if the Antichrist is in the Holy of Holies, how do the Jews see that? Because only the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. It's kind of interesting because the group of Jews that are preparing and are prepared to rebuild the temple, they have everything ready. They just need the okay. They're going to have it wired with closed-circuit TV. So when Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, the people will see it because it'll be on TV. They can watch it 24 hours a day. I mean, how crazy is that? Today, what do we have? We have like bird cams watching eagles nest. Just watch the little eaglets, whatever they're called, I guess. I'm just making that up. I could be right. But hatch from the egg, right? 24 hours a day, we could watch it on TV or on our little phone devices or computers. I think that's what's going to happen. What else did Adonai Zedek do? He was coming against the children of Israel, right? With a confederation of kings. What is the Antichrist going to do? He's going to gather the people of the world to fight in the Battle of Armageddon against Jerusalem. Surround the city. And really, they're fighting against the Lord, but they're going after the people of God. And they're not going to win. In Revelation 17:14, we're told about this confederation of kings that the Antichrist unites together and what they're going to do. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. That's what the Lord is doing. You know, in Revelation 19, you see the Lord coming back, riding a white horse, with us with him. Because I believe we are not part of the tribulation period. The bride is taken home before God pours out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. And if it's the wrath of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world, and we're here during the tribulation period, then Christ didn't pay for our sins because we're being punished for them. So we have to be removed. And really, the tribulation period is for the earth dwellers. Our citizenship is in heaven, and it's also for the Jews. Remember, the 70th week of Daniel. So there's another 7-year period of time that God is going to work with the Jews, and the nation of Israel will be saved. Paul talks about it in Romans. Kind of interesting. The last point is that we see these five kings hiding in a cave. And that should sound familiar if you know the book of Revelation, because in Revelation 6, verses 15 and 16, it says, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Wow. What's my point? It's this. Just as Joshua defeated the enemies of God and took back the land that was given to these people, our Jesus is coming back one day and to take back what was taken from him, the title deed of the earth. Because when Adam sinned, this world was turned over to Satan and his forces, and it's going to include the Antichrist one day. But Jesus redeemed us, and he's coming back to redeem this earth and take it back, take back the title deed to the earth. I think that's the scroll that we read of in Revelation. The scroll that he takes from the Father's hand. Remember, no one was able to take the scroll from the Father's hand. And John's weeping. Why are you weeping, John? The lion from the tribe of Judah is able to take the scroll and loose its seals. And that's exactly what happens. We eagerly wait for the Lord's return. In fact, all creation, Paul talked about it in Romans, all creation eagerly waits for his return, because when Adam sinned, it affected not only all humanity, but all creation. And if you don't think so, don't do any gardening for a while and watch how the weeds will grow. You don't even have to water them. They will grow. That's part of the curse. In the kingdom age, I don't think there's any weeds. Praise the Lord, right? I'm so thankful that this world is going to be restored. In fact, we get a glimpse of it. Isaiah 11. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young one shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. All of creation is going to be restored. You know, lions and tigers and bears, we won't say, oh my, anymore. We'll be able to walk with them. Can you imagine walking with this big old lion? I'm not really a cat person, but I think I can deal with a lion, okay? That would be really cool. Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful. Oh, can you imagine all the vegetation, all the life? You know, you turn on the news, there's not going to be bad news. You know, it's all going to be good. Hosea 2:18, in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground, bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. No more wars. Well, okay, one more war at the end of the millennial reign. But the Lord takes care of that. He deals with that. Wow. The land is going to be restored by Jesus one day. He's coming back. So, guys, yes, there are battles we face every day. Don't be distracted and run down rabbit trails that end up going nowhere. You know, stay focused on the Lord and what He's called us to do. Why do we do Vacation Bible School? Because we want to bless the kids. We want them to learn about Jesus. They learn about all the immorality and garbage from so many different venues today. We want them to hear something that's going to build them up, that's going to give them life. Jesus. That's why we do it. That's why we share the gospel message with people. We don't fight these battles with physical weapons. We do so with prayer and the Word of God. We put on the whole armor of God so we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And as we live in this world, as we share our faith, as we deal with tribulation, difficulties, sufferings, our witness needs to be strong. Our witness of the Lord. They need to see Jesus in us. You know, what did John say? You know, Lord, I need to decrease so that you can increase in me. Less of me, more of you. And lastly, as bad as things may get, the Lord's coming back, and I'm sure you long for that day as much as I do. I can't wait for him to come back because he's going to restore everything. I'm going to long for that day. And I'll close with this in Joshua 10:14. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And guys, he fights for us as well. As we surrender to him, as we look to him and be guided by him in all that we do. Let's pray. Father, what an encouraging message you have for us. That, Lord, the battle is yours. And all you do is to call us to walk by faith. Thank you, Lord, that you give us these victories. and that you use us, Lord, to be a witness of you wherever we go. It may be in our homes, it may be in our neighborhoods or at work or school or wherever, but we are a witness of you, of the living God, because you transformed our lives. We know where we were at before and we know where we're at now, and you're not finished with us yet. You're still working in us, and people see that. May they see that, Lord. And knowing that you're coming back one day, we can't wait, Lord. We look forward to that day. Thank you for your encouragement. We love you. And Lord, help us to shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.